Hi everybody and welcome to the Trauma and Mind Body Super Conference, and we have our esteemed guest today. It's Dr. Ben Lynch. Dr. Lynch, welcome to the summit.
Awesome to be here, Nikki. Thanks for having me.
So a little bit more about your background so people understand your extensive training and education. You are a naturopathic medical doctor. You trained at Bastyr University. I saw you have a Bachelor of Science degree in Cell and Molecular Biology. You're a best-selling author, expert in nutrigenomics, and your book was Dirty Genes?
Yes.
Excellent. So we've got a fascinating topic because I think a lot of people, especially the psychology community listening, may not realize how much of an impact our genes or certain genes can impact mental health and that we can do something about that. So maybe you could expand a little bit on how certain genes could directly be affecting somebody's mood and mental health, but you know, in a way that, yes, we can also change that and can do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right, too. I mean, our genetics, the ones that we're born with, absolutely do have an impact on how we're thinking or our thoughts. And the cool thing is that we're actually in control of a lot of these genes, even though you think that they're controlling you. They might be controlling you right now because you don't know about them. But once you learn how these genes are acting and what they're doing and what they need from you, then you can make some quick changes. And but yeah, these genes that we're going to be talking about today are in the book in detail. So Nikki and I will dive down pretty deep and say a few things pretty fast. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But the book will help guide you. But we're going to give you some solid tools today too to give you a solid taste and get you some actionable things that you can do and apply.
Awesome. Because yeah, just to sort of emphasize, you know, we've sort of been trying to train the community. They're like, no, our genes do not dictate destiny. We're not a victim of our genes. So we're really talking about epigenetics here, aren't we? Just, I wonder if you could just touch on that.
Yeah, so genes, they have, you know, jobs to do, but they have to be told what to do, usually. Not all the time, but, you know, our genes for hair color are told to make brown hair for me, and they did that. So I didn't really influence that. It just happened. But in terms of, you know, how my digestion is or how I'm thinking right now or how my energy levels are, there's genes that play roles in that and they need input. So our genes are found inside our cells in a little tiny rolled up ball where they're usually not doing anything. And they require a stimulus. And that stimulus comes from us. And Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about this all the time, where our perception of the environment is what's controlling our genes on the inside. So our eyes, our ears, our taste, our sense of smell, our sense of touch, all these things are really firing our genes. And a great example, a few of them is when you're sleeping and it's dark outside, you're good. And then when the sun starts coming in through the window, you start getting the light through your eyelids and it's starting to wake you up. Well, there's genetics involved with that. So the light's coming in and it's triggering certain genes to turn on and triggering others to turn off. And if I say lemon or very sour lemon, what's happening to your mouth right now, Nikki?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I could just salivating or, yeah, I could, yes.
Yeah,
I could
that sense fast. It. So yes. Again, you know, you have sight and you have sound and they're triggering things that fast. So your perception of the environment works your genes that quickly, and that is epigenetics.
Wonderful. So the beauty is environmental factors will affecting our gene expression, and we have control over our environment, basically.
Yeah.
Sure. So this is the good news. So let's talk about, we're going to talk about four major genes that have a particular impact and could be affecting somebody. And somebody might be going off and getting EFT and psychology approaches, not realizing that this gene is the key thing that if they knew about, they could change something in their environment and it would improve their mental health. So let's start with a big one. There's something called MTHFR. So over to you as the expert on this one. Like, what is that, and what are some of the symptoms if that gene is out of balance, if the expression is, you call it dirty, it's maybe, I mean, genes can under or over express, right? But dirty genes, what are the some symptoms people should look for as well if they have that imbalance in that gene and it might be an issue for them?
Yeah, so again, if we go back to, you know, defining what a gene is, and it's basically, we have about 18,000 of them in our human body, and MTHFR is just one of them. And if a gene, a dirty gene, is a gene that's not functioning very well, it's not functioning at its best. Mm-hmm. And so if your MTHFR gene isn't functioning very well, the first thing you need to ask is, well, what job does it do? And MTHFR's job is to make your body's number one form of folate. And that's called methylfolate. That's its job. And 80% of the type of folate that's found in your body should be methylfolate. And so many people are told to take folic acid. And folic acid is a type of folate, yes, but there's no methyl on it. So folic acid has to get a methyl group put onto it in order to become methylfolate. And that's what 80% of your folate in your body is. And MTHFR helps put that compound on it. That's its job.
Yep.
Is to see a certain type of folate coming through, and then it comes to MTHFR, and the MTHFR will put this compound on this type of folate and make it methylfolate. That's its job. So, and if that gene isn't working very well, then you might not have 80% of your body's type of folate as methylfolate. And what happens? You can have increased cardiovascular disease. You could have increased thrombus, clots, cardiovascular disease, respiratory disorders. You could have high homocysteine, which leads to those things. But high homocysteine is also not talked about enough in the neurological space or the neurotransmitter, mind, mood, mental state. And it's very, very much associated with it, because high homocysteine levels really mess up your neurotransmitters.
Yep.
And so if it imbalances your neurotransmitters, it could be almost any type of neurological imbalance or neurotransmitter imbalance or mental disorder that you can think of. And you're like, well, wait a minute. So you're telling me it's associated with anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia? Yes. Yes. It's because it has such a wide range of impact, because homocysteine will dirty your body's ability to make neurotransmitters and eliminate them. So, and methylfolate helps with the homocysteine. So it's a really, really big deal. And folate itself also plays a big role in neurotransmission as well. So it plays a role in basically every type of mental disorder you can think of, which is pretty bold claim, but it's true.
Yeah, and so glad that we're talking on it. It's such an important topic. So, and the beauty is we can do something about that. So what are the sort of things that we could do that helps clean up that gene, and therefore their methylfolate levels go up and their neurotransmitters start to balance out, and then the anxiety and depression could balance out and go away?
Yeah. So what does the MTHFR gene do? It makes methylfolate. Okay, so then you have to ask, well, what tools does this particular gene need? So if you start, learning about MTHFR, and then this tickles you and you want to learn about other genes, always ask a few questions. What does it do? What's this particular gene do? What's it need in order to do it? What does it make? What does it need in order to make it? What makes it go faster and what makes it go slower? That's pretty much all you need to know. And so with MTHFR, what it really needs is vitamin B2, known as riboflavin. And when your MTHFR is born dirty, meaning you have inherited a variation in your gene, your MTHFR gene, and it's not what's typically found in the environment, about 40 to 50% of us have a altered MTHFR genetic sequence. It's not the exact same as other people's. Mine is, I've inherited an MTHFR sequence where it's about 70 to 80% slower than what's typical in the population. So my MTHFR gene isn't very quick, fast at all. It's slow. So is that a problem? No, I just need to understand that I have a 20 to 30% capacity for my MTHFR gene. So what do I do about it? Well, I can take more riboflavin. And so I get sufficient riboflavin in my multivitamin. That's usually where I get it. It's usually enough. Or I say, okay, I'm going to eat more salad today, because in your leafy green vegetables, you have methylfolate in there. And the other thing I can do is I can eat more meat or liver, but I can't stand liver. But, so I'll eat more meat. Well, why would I eat more meat? Well, there's a relationship with folate in your body and what's found in meat called choline. If you have sufficient choline, you don't need as much folate. If you have a little bit of choline, you're using a lot more folate. So by eating some meat, you need some salad, yes, but you don't need as much. And so vegans and vegetarians, you really, really need to be eating your leafy greens a lot, or supplementing with choline.
Wonderful.
Or riboflavin.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. That's beautiful. You have an art of making it really simple, something that can get very complex. So this is brilliant. Should we talk about COMT?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's move on, because yeah. We'll also talk about, I know it's important, we don't want to just, we want to look at the connection between all of them as well. So let's, what is COMT? What does it do? And what are the symptoms of somebody who is out of balance, and especially like mental health symptoms, for example?
Yeah, Nikki, I thought of one more thing to make it easier for people, and to Jafar.
Yeah.
And so that question is, what labs can I order to see if my particular gene is dirty?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that at the end, but yeah, people might be asking. But like, we could get to that at the end, because we can test all of these four, and we can talk about that. We'll get to it, because that's the first thing they're going to ask, isn't it? Like, how do
I
know?
Okay, perfect.
Yeah,
so
lovely.
I'll hold off on that.
Yeah, great.
So COMT, and when we're saying all these letters, when you hear Nikki and I talking about MGFR and COMT, we're just sparing you big, fancy, scientific, biochemical lingo. That's it. COMT stands for catechol-O-methyltransferase. MGFR, methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase. Who cares? So it's just an abbreviation for that. Mm-hmm. And it tells scientists what the gene does. That's what's in the name. It tells you its function and where it works and what it does. So COMT's job, again, is you always want to know what it does, is COMT helps your body get rid of a certain type of estrogen. So it helps break down certain estrogens. And then it also helps break down your dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine out of your body. So it was like, well, why would I want to eliminate my estrogens? And why would I want to eliminate my dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine? Why would I want to do that? Well, if you're constantly high estrogen, that's great for fertility. It's great for your skin. It's great for your focus and awareness and your bones and your growth and your repair of your cells. It's wonderful for all that. But if it's, always high, then it can interfere with your moods. It can interfere with your cycles. It can interfere with your cell division in a negative way. It can lead to cancer. And so estrogen, that's why women get more breast cancer, uterine cancer, cervical cancer. These areas are really rich in estrogen. And so if this particular gene is dirty and it's not working as fast as it needs to be, then you have estrogen-sensitive cancers that are very, not very prone, but increased susceptibility to them. So it's really been very, very important for women to have this gene balanced. And then why would you want to eliminate dopamine, norepi, and epi? Well, it's great during the day when you want to be type A, driven, focused, listening to this and learning things. So it's great for learning. It's great for your mood, for being happy and outgoing. But when you want to just relax on the beach, you don't want to have to be just type A there on the beach, or maybe you want to go to sleep every day. So these genes have to clear this stuff out. So COMT will clear it out so you can fall asleep. And so that's what COMT does. And so it's very useful. And there's two types of COMT that I talk about in the book. There's a fast type and there's a slow type. And the fast type means it's clearing out the estrogens really quickly. It's clearing out the dopamine and norepis and epi really quickly. And I tell stories about my son and other people about a faster COMT type. So a faster COMT type is more susceptible to addictions and, shopping or sex or gambling or alcohol or, excessive amounts of exercise, because exercise increases your dopamine. Mm-hmm. So if COMT is working too fast, it's clearing out your dopamine, you're going to seek things which increase your dopamine, like cigarette smoking or alcohol or shopping or sex. Or if you know that it's going to clear out your dopamine quickly, well, you can do things like eat more protein or take mm-hmm. tyrosine supplements, which will, keep supplying the COMT gene so it can provide dopamine for you. Or maybe you need more folate. So it's very cool once you know, oh, yeah, I have a faster COMT type. Yeah, I have more ADHD today. I'm more unfocused. I'm lazier. I'm sitting on the couch watching Netflix. I have no drive. And in fact, I'm getting kind of depressed. So eat some more protein, maybe have a tyrosine supplement or inositol, and go do some exercise. Give you know, get a hug. Hugs will increase dopamine too. So that's really handy. Now, if you're a slow COMT, you're type A, you're driven, you're focused, you're more prone to irritability. And when that time around comes, that time comes during the month where it's, you know, your menstrual cycle, that PMS hits you like a, like just wham. And a lot of people make fun of that. And it's not a laughing matter because you don't want to be acting like that. And then, you know, it's affecting your family. It's affecting you. And it's a real thing. And COMT has a huge, huge role in PMS. So if you have a really bad PMS-like symptoms where you feel like, oh my God, yeah, I'm turning into that person right now. I'm like the Incredible Hulkus. And I got to calm down. Your COMT is dirty. So what do you need? Well, magnesium is wonderful for your COMT gene. That's what it uses. So magnesium, and most people are magnesium deficient. So find a place where you can lay in those, what do you call those, float tanks. Mm-hmm. So those Epsom salt float tanks. Mm-hmm. I learned, and I haven't seen the research on this, but I've learned that if you lay in a float tank for 1 hour, it's almost equivalent to like 3 weeks or 3 months worth of supplementation of magnesium.
Wow. Did not know that. Right? That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. So, and there's all sorts of little tips that you can do for that. But, you know, but COMT is extremely important for, you know, depression and anxiety and irritability and PMS and, you know, your focus, your lack of focus, your drive, your motivation, your addictive behaviors. And, you know, once you put all that together and you start learning about it, it's really freeing and exciting and empowering.
Yeah. And I was life-changing, potentially absolutely life-changing. Yeah. It's brilliant. So we've got two more. The next one is MAOA and MAOB.
Mm-hmm. So these genes work very, very much together. In fact, all genes, not all genes, but all the genes that we've talked about so far, we'll get into that later, but they all work as a team as well. But MAOA and B work on supporting the elimination of serotonin, converting it to melatonin, and they also help in eliminating dopamine, norepinephrine, epinephrine as well. And they also work in eliminating histamine. So yeah, these are all very similar to what we talked about with COMT, but with also the added, we're excluding, well, they play a role in dopamine elimination too, but let's focus on the serotonin. So serotonin, everybody talks about that as the, you know, if you have low serotonin, you're going to be depressed. Well, it's not that simple. You know, if you're low dopamine, you're going to have no drive for sex. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's not that simple. They work together. Mm-hmm. And it's really not that cut and dry. Mm-hmm. But MAOA and B, you know, serotonin, melatonin, big relationship here. So if your MAOA gene is working too fast, your MAO is going to be eliminating your serotonin quickly. But you need serotonin for melatonin. So what might happen if your MAOA gene is working fast is you might fall asleep beautifully, mm-hmm. especially if your COMT is working fast too. You're clearing out all those neurotransmitters. You fall asleep like a baby, head hits the pillow, gone. Problem is you wake up a few hours later. You don't have sufficient melatonin in, mm-hmm. on board to keep you, you know, sleeping. And that's especially a problem as we age because the curve for melatonin as we age, when we're young, we have melatonin levels up here. And as we get older, our melatonin levels naturally drop. And melatonin is also an antioxidant. It protects our brain, and it protects a lot of other tissues as well. Mm-hmm. So if it's working too quickly, you could be eliminating your serotonin too fast. If it's working too slowly, it's very susceptible to migraines and headaches and irritability and a lack of focus. And maybe you're going to – because if you – a lack of focus in a different way. A lack of focus because you're anxious. And this is what my son has. And it took me a long time to figure this out, where we did a brain scan with him. We took him to Amen Clinics and did a SPECT scan. And when he is actively engaged learning, his whole brain is lit up. Like, mm-hmm. it's overworked. So he's working too hard. He's overthinking it. And he has too much serotonin and dopamine in his head. So we actually need to calm him down. remove some of these excessive amounts of neurotransmitters, and then he can focus. That's really weird. You're thinking you need to clear some neurotransmitters? Yeah, because if you're anxious, you can't focus either.
Yep.
So it's important to understand that you don't always need stimulants, you know, to like Ritalin to improve focus. That'd actually be a nightmare for some kids and some adults. You actually need to calm them down. So that's a big one for MAO-A and B.
Brilliant.
And the nutrient needed for that is riboflavin.
Right.
As well.
Awesome. Okay. Brilliant. And let's touch on the last one as well, because these are the four important ones. It's so good just to go through and actually demonstrate what we're talking about, like in terms of so people can actually go, wow, that could directly be me. That you just described me. You know, that's what people are going to get from this. And then, you know, they might find a solution that they just haven't found up to now. So brilliant. Last one, DAO, that's another one you cover in the book, and it has important implications for mental health.
Oh, massive. So DAO's job is to help get rid of histamine from food or drink or the bacteria that's living in your digestive system, you know, in your small intestine, large intestine, you know, your stomach. You know, these are areas where you're like, well, why would I have bacteria in your stomach? Well, you shouldn't. But if you're low stomach acid, you might. And if you have SIBO, you could have a huge amount of bacteria, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. In your small intestine, and that's not good either. And bacteria can produce huge amounts of histamine, especially if you have one called Blastocystis hominis. And Blastocystis hominis is, at least here in the United States, is extremely common. It's found in drinking water, it's found in food, and I had it. And so I found it in the lab, and I called doctors' data. I'm like, man, what's this? And they said, man, that's so pervasive. We don't even know if we should call that, you know, normal flora anymore, because everyone has it. I said, well, what's the problem with it? And he goes, it makes a ton of histamine.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. Because I struggled with, you know, irritability, sweaty feet, eczema, headaches, sensitive to drinking wine. I can't touch wine. And leftover foods, fish, citrus, you know, I it's like chocolate. I have any of this type of stuff. I you know, sweat or get irritable or I get hot or I get itchy skin and bumps. And I get those red little bumps on my skin. I get headaches. And I was actually flying to London once for a conference. And I was like, screw it. I'm going to have some red wine and to get me tired so I can fall asleep. I took one sip of that red wine and I got a nosebleed like that.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah, just too much histamine. And so if the DAO gene is not working, you get this huge flux of histamine that's in your digestive system, but you absorb the histamine, and now it plays a role with your headaches, your migraines, your irritability, and your inability to fall asleep. Your seasonal allergies go up, and your skin starts itching and so on, and that leads to depression and anxiety because you've got to cover your skin up because you're embarrassed. And if you take certain probiotics or you eat kefir or yogurts or certain cheeses, or you go to a wine and cheese party, that's like the worst thing you can do for this thing. And then you go sailing as well, or you get nauseous in the car. You can't read in the car at all. That's car sickness. And you get dizzy and ringing in the ears. These are all related to histamine. And an interesting fact is pigs have a huge amount of this particular gene in their digestive system. You're like, huh, well, why would they do that? Well, they're eating like nasty leftover food. Lions also have a huge amount of DAOs because they're eating rotting flesh all the time. So they have adapted to have this huge amount of this gene in their digestive system so they can process the histamine. And they, for some reason, somebody decided to do a test research on pigs and see if they got seasick. Pigs don't get seasick.
Okay.
Right? So
that's amazing factoid. Wow. It's true
of
the suit question.
If you don't learn anything, learn that. And then for pregnancy, this is a really, really important one too, because histamine is associated with preeclampsia, infertility, you know, placenta previa. It's a lot of things. So what do you do about it? Well, you support your microbiome, you limit histamine ingestion of various foods or drinks, and you take probiotics which actually degrade histamine, like Lactobacillus plantarum, the bifidobacter types of probiotics, You kill the Blastocystis hominis with various antimicrobials and good probiotics. Good probiotics also kill bad bugs. So by taking probiotics, you're also killing the bad ones. So that, you know, probiotics are very, very important here. And I would avoid the fermented foods as well. And some of the Lactobacillus fermentum and Lactobacillus bulgaricus are also histamine producing. So if you're taking a probiotic and you're actually feeling worse, spin your bottle around. Look at the supplement facts. And it says Lactobacillus fermentum and bulgaricus, you should probably not be taking that anymore. And because you can get irritable, anxious, and headaches from that.
Okay, so with the DAO gene, if that is not functioning properly, that means when it's not breaking down histamine as much. So was there anything else someone could do to change the expression of that, or do they just need to limit all the histamine from the diet? And
yeah, so by fixing the microbiome, by taking the Bifidobacter probiotics is very helpful, because that's going to push down the Blastocystis hominis probably. You want to identify infections in your gut, so lab testing, which we'll get to. You can also take an enzyme called DAO, and you can actually buy a DAO enzyme supplement, and you can actually take what that gene makes. And I just was talking to a builder today who came to our house to fix something, and he goes, "Ben, I recommended someone take your histamine block. What was their problem? Oh, super itchy skin. They like had horrible itchy skin." And so I gave him the histamine block, and he goes, it was life changing for him. So he just shared me that story today. And the other guy, he knew to make that recommendation because another builder was here, and he had really red, puffy eyes. I mean, really bad. And he goes, "Well, I need to leave early to go to the doctor." And I said, "Well, what for?" I said, "They're just going to give you steroids." I said, "What's up with your eyes? That looks like a chemical reaction." And he goes, "Yeah, we actually had some scented soap that was so bad. We got this Dove scented soap, and I washed my face, and I got eczema. I got really puffy eyes. My daughters were affected, threw it out of the house, but we're still struggling." I said, "Well, take this DAO enzyme along with some other vitamins and minerals like B2 and copper. Copper is also needed for this particular gene. I believe calcium too." And it cleared him up he noticed improvement within about an hour and a half. And after a whole day, he was back to normal again.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So this is the power of knowing one's genes and how they're affecting us.
It removes the guesswork.
Yes. It's like the light goes on. Suddenly you've got agency over your own mind, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Again, that's the power of what we're talking about. So let's talk about, do you want to talk just briefly about connections between things and how they affect each other? Or it might be fun to talk about some of the types, like if you're homozygous MTHFR, or some of the combinations as well, because it could have some interesting personality traits coming from that as well.
Yeah, for sure. So I had a lady, she was in my genetics Facebook group, because she used our report, and then she asked a question. She goes, "Does this genetic stuff really work?" And she goes, "I've been struggling with lifelong anxiety and panic attacks." And she showed her genes. And I looked at her genes, I commented, "Oh, yeah."
There's the explanation.
Yeah. And so what her genes were, she had a slow MTHFR, quite slow. So she was homozygous, meaning she inherited a copy of MTHFR that was slower from her mom and also her dad. So it reduced its performance. And she also inherited a slower COMT gene. And she also inherited a slower MAO-A gene. And I looked at that, it's like, wow, your neurotransmitters are stuck in your head, and you probably don't fall asleep very well, you probably get bad PMS, and you're probably really driven type A personality. And she goes, "Oh my God, how did you know all this?" It's like, well,
magic.
Help me.
Yes, yeah. It looks like intuition, it's not, it's pattern recognition, actually, which is a form of intuition, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's I always equate this to the Matrix in the movie, when the guy is staring at the screen and all those things are falling down, and he's telling him where to run and do that. You know, you can look, when you get really good at genetics and you get really interested, you get really interested in it, then you get really good at it, right? You can't get really good at something you're not interested in. So if you're not interested in it, don't worry about it. But if you get really interested like I am, and you start diving into it, it's like the Matrix. You can read that, all those characters coming down, and you know exactly what's going on, just like I did with this lady. But what was interesting with her is I didn't recommend a bunch of supplements, and I didn't recommend a do this, do that. I evaluated her environment. I evaluated where she, her zip codes. And what I learned was, is that she lived in a toxic environment her whole life. And she, well, actually not her whole life, for like the last 20, 30 years, because she was following her husband around who was in the oil industry. And so they were very exposed to certain chemicals which increase anxiety.
Okay.
They affect your neurotransmitters. They dirty your genes.
Right.
And so I told her, you need to get an air filter, you need to close your windows, and you need to take glycine and get rid of this, I think it was benzene. And she lived in the town, I mean the actual town that had the highest benzene levels out of all of them in America.
Amazing.
Wow.
So that's an example of something in the environment. Benzene and chemicals like that, can they basically dirty all the genes?
Well, I would say yes, but they really have an affinity for certain genes.
Okay.
If you dirty one gene, it's going to have an effect. So like we have keyboards in front of us. You know, we have 26 letters on our alphabet here on our keyboard. And if the A key is dirty, it's going to affect how I'm typing all the other letters. So, you know, if it's stuck, right, if there's some honey on it or something, it's going to affect the whole rest of the thing.
Yeah.
Might slow us down, what have you. But because they're working together. And I also told her, you know, consider riboflavin. You need to do some more meditation, reduce your protein intake in the evening, because if you eat more protein, you're making more tyrosine. You're getting more tyrosine. You're making more dopamine. So have just a salad at night and a light snack. And that will allow you, your neurotransmitters to clear, because you have a slower ability to clear your neurotransmitters. So don't have protein in the evening, or just very little. And then don't do things that are stimulating at night. Don't exercise at night. Don't have sex at night. And go for a walk or do some calming things in the evening. Maybe do some yoga or stretching or something meditative to calm you down. So once you learn these things, like, oh, yeah, when I go for exercise or I play soccer in the evening with my team, I come home and I'm all wired and I can't fall asleep for 2 hours. Well, you might be programmed this way and you need to alter it. And I'm programmed that way, not as significantly as she was or is. But if I go and I played soccer, I couldn't fall asleep for a couple hours because I was so wound up.
Yes. That's so interesting. Before we talk about testing, is there any other recommendations you'd make which are just generally good things that would apply across the board, like to clean up genes? Is that relevant? If not, we could just talk
Yes. about it. Yeah, for sure. I always like to talk about something that is very simple and not commonly practiced, and that is avoidance. So I really want people focusing on reducing things in their life, not adding to complexity. I don't want you taking another supplement. I don't want you adding on exercise. I don't want you adding, do this or do that. I want you removing things from your life. So as soon as we're done, talking with you right now, I want you to just get up. Don't watch the next video. Get up and go remove something from your home or from your to-do list. Or, a person who's toxic, or unfriend somebody on your social media who's just constantly hammering you. Or if your boss is constantly asking you to do things on the weekend or late at night, next time they ask you, just say, hey, you know what? I appreciate that you're, really confiding in me and I'm your go-to person, but you're really wearing me out and my performance is going to go down and you're going to lose me as someone to confide in. So, you need to find someone else who wants the more work and who can handle it for you. So, I want my normal hours for work. So avoid the load, because remember, genes do work. The less work you have to do, the less work your genes have to do, which means they're going to be more ready when you give them another task. If you overwork yourself, you're overworking your genes, you add on to their jobs, they might fail you, and then you get symptoms. So do less. Do less.
Okay, that's great. There's a lot of people cheering, I think, from that.
Yeah,
it's given them the it's guilt-free. I can stop doing things. Lovely. So all important, should we talk about testing? How can people actually start assessing their genes, if you want to share?
Yeah. And before I do that, I just thought of a quote. The hardest thing to do is nothing.
That's great. Yes. That's so true.
Right?
Yes. I'd have to meditate 3 hours just to try and do that. Nothing. Yeah. That's true.
And there's a lady in the Facebook group who commented, and she also has a very, very slow COMT. And she goes, I moved to the country. Once I found out that I was programmed for all this panic stuff and anxiety stuff, and I had it my whole life, you know, I moved. I moved out of the city. I have an orchard, a mini little orchard, and I'm out with my dogs and my cats and some little animals. And she goes, I'm great. I'm perfect now. So it's, you know, sometimes you have to put in some drastic decisions. And, you know, I've positioned myself to survive and thrive based upon what I need. You know, I'm surrounded by nature, and I can't stand big cities, and I need to be outside a lot. I need to look at nature. So you have to find out what really resonates for you. And so lab testing is very, very useful when done right. And what I also want to say is genetic testing isn't necessary. If you read the book, it is going to be more accurate for you to read the book and do the quizzes than it is to do your genetic test. Because a genetic test might say that you have a slower COMT, but in actuality, you have a faster one. And if you do lab testing, it's also going to show that you have a faster one. So genetic testing is like, well, I have a slow COMT. Yeah, but your epigenetics are altering how you're telling your genes what to do, right?
Yeah.
So it's not set in stone.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say, your book is so wrong. You know, I took your quiz and I have a slow COMT and I did labs actually I didn't do labs, but I did the laundry list in your book. I have a slow COMT, but your genetic test says I'm a fast. How's that? Do a lab test and find out. Well, what lab test do I do? You can do a salivary hormone test. You can do a urinary hormone test. You can do blood hormone test. And the cool thing is in the appendix, I have a whole thorough appendix in the back just for lab testing. I have general labs, and then I have, for each gene, I have specific labs. And then I talk about which specific labs you would do, what lab to order them from, at least in the USA. And then I say, you know, what might be off and what you do about it to correct that lab marker. So for MTHFR, you want to look at homocysteine. And if your homocysteine is greater than basically 8-9 micromoles per liter, then it's a bit dirty. The normal range for homocysteine here in the United States is greater than 15. So that is almost double where I want you. I would love you to be around a 7 or 8, mm-hmm. 6, 7, or 8. But the lab is saying anything greater than 15 is bad. No. Greater than 8, 9 needs some work. And I walk you through how to do that. COMT, if you look at your estrogen levels on your hormone tests and you find out that your catechol estrogens are high, that means you're not able to methylate those estrogens, and those catechol estrogens are very damaging and cancer promoting. And that's a great one to look at. And if you catch that, you are really reducing your estrogen type risk of cancer. So that's a beautiful one, and hormone testing is great at that. So do that one. For MAO-A, you know, it's you can look at neurotransmitter metabolites. You can look at 5-HIA or 5-HIAA urinary metabolites, but it's not so cut and dry. It gets kind of confusing. I walk you through it in the book, but I don't want to go in now because I'll just lose you. And then with the DAO, that is not really a lab. I mean, you could look at tryptase, you could look at histamines, but histamine isn't really great. Have some oranges, drink some orange juice, have a glass of wine. If you tolerate it just fine, you're good. If you have some yogurt or kefir and you react, or you have this orange and you react, not so good. MTGFR, you have a SALD, you feel better. You have folic acid, you feel worse. Well, like you said earlier, you know, certain things that just dirty all your genes, folic acid will dirty a lot of them. I like giving you tricks so you don't even really need labs, but labs are very informative to see what your progress are. So if you have, once you get your starting point, so let's say you do your homocysteine test and it comes back at 16, and then you do some of the things in the book and you get it down to a 7, you know, that's awesome. And, you know, or COMT, you can see that your catecholamine estrogens are high. So it's good to have a measure of improvement, right? But there's tricks in the book too that I provide you to test it to see if it's dirty or not.
Awesome. So we do also have your test. We've got a little link below the video where you can actually find out what particular genes you have and whether they have the particular mutations. But the point I'm taking from what you said is, don't take that test in isolation. If you're going to do that test, don't take it in combination with looking at all your symptoms, because it's environmental factors are also affecting how those genes express. So if I've got a slow gene, but it's expressing really well, I might have no symptoms of that and I'm doing just great, right? So, but we do have that testing, and it is your test as well, if you can talk something a little bit on that as well, if you want.
Yeah, so it is. Once you understand the basics of the things that we're talking about, once, you know, if this is resonating with you and you're excited about it, the next thing to do is to get the book Dirty Genes.
Yep.
And really sit down and learn this stuff. And then take the quizzes in the book and make some changes. And Dirty Genes is not a book you curl with your dog and cat, or, you know, and sit by the fireplace and just read. It's like a to-do thing. And a trick I want to give you is, if you find something in that book that really resonates with you, it's like, oh, I want to do that. Just close the book and go do it. Just close it and go. You know, come back after a month and read some more and learn something and go apply that. It's too information packed for you to get it all in your head. It's just not possible. I mean, it's my life's work. So just read something that resonates with you, go implement, put the book down and do it for a while. And then you've improved. Pick it up again. It's like, okay, what can I implement next? And you can figure out what that is from the quizzes. So the quizzes will really guide you. So you can skip right to the quizzes if you want, and then and look at it that way. In terms of the genetic testing, if let's say you say, okay, well, I'm not going to get the book. I just want to get my genetic test to know exactly what to do. Well, I know there's this promise out there that from genetic testing companies and genetic report companies that say, if you get our genetic report, you will know exactly what to do. We'll tell you what to do, and we'll tell you what supplements to take, what foods to eat, and what have you. That's a false promise. It's not possible. If it was that possible, I would have not made our report. And I would have not, there would be no doctors around. It would be so easy. And frankly, the human species would be extinct, because we have a lot of redundant pathways and processes and mechanisms and jobs in our body for backup. And we do not understand all the inherent complexities of our human body, which has been beautiful and evolved over who knows how long. And we can't whittle it down to just a couple sentences on a gene and do this. So it's, you have to think the big picture. So genetic testing is wonderful after you work on the book, after you work at the foundations. And think of it like this. I love coaching. I love coaching basketball. I love coaching soccer. I love coaching in general, and coaching now. And you know, if I have a kid on my team who has never played basketball before, and I see this all the time, sometimes I'll be the assistant coach because I don't have the desire to be the head coach. And the head coach will go to these kids and say, okay, we're going to learn plays today. And I want you to go to the top of the key, and I want you to go on the post, and you pass him the ball, and you drive down the center and you do a layup. And the kids are like, I don't know what the post is. I don't know where the key is. I don't know what a layup is. I don't even know how to dribble the ball. So genetic testing is too advanced. Start simple, get foundation first, then move to the genetic testing and the genetic reports.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Dr. Lynch. That was absolutely brilliant. It was clear. And I think, yeah, there's so much value in what we've just talked about for people. So share where people can find out more about you, your website, any projects you've got coming up.
Yeah, so best thing is, again, the book Dirty Genes, and it's available almost everywhere in many languages. And then you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Ben Lynch. I'm pretty vocal, especially nowadays. And at Dr. Benjamin Lynch on Facebook. And then his company is seekinghealth.com, where you can find genetic testing, supplementation, and other educational courses as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Lynch. That was absolutely brilliant. So thank you. Thanks, everybody listening. I hope you got what I got out of that, which is a lot. So take care for now, and we'll see you in the next episode.